Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Well, this was really fun. It's always good to kind of force us as small business owners and entrepreneurs to pause and kind of think about our business from a big picture. I think sometimes we're so in the business, sometimes it's good to kind of step back and look out of the business and add it a little bit from a bird's eye view. So this was really great.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Liza Atkinson is joining me today from St. Paul, Minnesota. Our conversation today is about a monthly pop-up dinner party with a twist. Find out what the twist is and how Liza became a chef with fierce cooking skills and started a business during a year like no other. Hi, Liza.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing just terrific. You know, it's one of those wonderful fall days in Minnesota, right?
It is. It's beautiful out.
Yeah. And where am I talking with you from?
I am in my car in the parking lot of the kitchen I cook in.
That's excellent. And it's super quiet there, so... All right. And today's sponsor is Sally Doyle, who has sponsored many of our podcasts. Thank you, Sally. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams. Right now, you can reach her to get a profit analysis and cash flow projections. Call Sally to get it done. GreatLakesBookkeeping.com. 1-651-208-8151 is how you can also reach her by phone. So let me give you a little bit of background of why Liza's calling and talking to us from her car outside of her commercial kitchen. So Liza's a Minnesota girl with fierce cooking skills in the kitchen. Food truly is her love language. Her gourmet cooking club traveled to France together in 2019. So for more than a decade, Liza has been part of a monthly gourmet cooking group in the Twin Cities. Over the years, she has crushed dinner parties, and people have been asking her how they can join or start their own cooking club. Liza created Nosh and Gather pop-up dinner parties so others could be part of this unique dining experience. Nosh to Go was born years ago when her babies were babies and her girlfriends, who also had babies, and she would batch cook and swap meals once a month so they could all push the easy button on busy weeknights. As her kids got older, she kept batch cooking and meal prepping to keep her fridge stocked for the busy week ahead. Over time, people asked if they could get in on this and pay her to stock their fridge too. So here she is, goshing and gathering with offerings for many. When she's not busy in the kitchen cooking, she can be found hanging with her sweet hub and three kiddos, spending time outside, having Beyonce dance parties, or reading Harry Potter snuggled on the couch. Liza loves to travel, whether it's a big trip abroad or a cabin up north. Getting away refreshes her foodie spirit and rejuvenates her desire to keep learning about herself, bolstering her ability to create and do for others. So thank you so much for being on We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. I'm just really excited that you were able to carve out a little time on a Monday busy morning with preparing food for the week.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you've had a journey like no other. And when we spoke earlier in July, I was just really impressed with just your ability to really adapt to the circumstances of what we're all experiencing. So I was wondering if you could kind of give us a little chunk of your background of how, you know, you kind of evolved into developing this online order business for deliver or pickup. Nosh and gatherings.
Go ahead. That, like you mentioned in the intro, Nosh and Gather was born kind of out of two business, you know, avenues or pillars. One being my gourmet dinner club was the inspiration behind these pop-up dinner parties that were, you know, pre-COVID. I had several scheduled where strangers would come together over a shared table and just connect over a gourmet meal and, you know, discover that we are all more alike than we are different. And then the other arm of the business, Nosh to Go, which I kind of thought would be a little bit of a sidearm. I thought dinner parties would be the main gig and Nosh to Go, you know, meal delivery service would be kind of a sidearm, but 2020 had other plans. And so, you know, what happened is, you know, the business started in January. I kind of soft launched it and was in a test and learn phase, focusing on the meal delivery service side for friends and family, kind of working out the kinks and the logistics. And then literally March 1st, I launched the business, you know, website went live, everything was kind of worked out and it makes me chuckle now because we all know what happened in mid-March. The world stopped.
Oh my God. So, and you kept going.
Yeah. And, you know, the business was really starting to take off. I had been booked for about 20 catering events throughout 2020 to the point where I had to stop saying yes to them. I was so full. And I had multiple pop-up dinner parties scheduled. And, you know, I had all this momentum. And then COVID. And, you know, kind of the lead up to COVID, I had been connecting with current clients as well as on social media with people in that anticipatory time period where the grocery stores were crazy. They were out of everything and people were really scared. This was just before the stay-at-home order went out. And, you know, I reached out to them and said, okay, I'm not going to do my regular weeknight meal cooking for you guys. You know, how can I help you right now? Like, what would be most beneficial to you? Because if you remember at that time, we weren't really sure, were we going to be home inside for a month, for 6 weeks? I mean, we just didn't know.
Right. Like, most of us thought, like, you know, maybe a couple of months.
Right. And the grocery store was a scary place at that point, right? Lines were long. They were out of everything. And so I reached out and I said, hey, you know, how can I help? And everyone reached back and said, help me stock my freezer. Help me fill my freezer up with meals and soups and quiches and casseroles and all things that I can easily pull out because I just don't know what the next 30, 60 days look like. And so I spent a few weeks in my kitchen, you know, up to my eyeballs in quiche and Minnesota hot dish and all those things that freeze so great.
Yeah.
But it helped. I could just see kind of, you know, as I was delivering and connecting with those clients that it just was a relief that, okay, you know, if I can't get to the store for a month, I've got food in my freezer that I can pull out and feed my family. And then, of course, the stay-at-home order did come out and as a caterer, we were in this kind of limbo spot of we're not a restaurant, but I was doing meal pickup and meal delivery service. So it was this weird kind of place. So for a couple of weeks, I was shut because that was sort of our interpretation of the order. But then right kind of as the order was adjusted was Easter. And I was able to be back in the kitchen cooking again. And this was before restaurants had figured out pickup to go service, you know, and Easter is the busiest day in sales that restaurants do in the whole year. So I knew that families, you know, were used to going out for Easter brunch and used to kind of having that experience and didn't have that option this year. But they were still wanting to gather, right? Even if it was just your little nuclear family of four or five or whatever, you still wanted to celebrate. You still wanted to honor the holiday. And maybe you wanted to send a two-person dinner to your parents and connect over Zoom and kind of share Easter brunch together that way because you literally couldn't be with them this holiday.
Yeah.
So that I kind of just had that idea. And within a couple of days, I had sold it out kind of more than I had realized and made it happen. And then immediately my clients said, please do this for Mother's Day, because they were already looking ahead to May thinking, you know, we're going to want this option and be able to treat our parents and our families to something like this for Mother's Day. So I kind of did the same thing again for Mother's Day and again, sold it out in a minute. And, you know, that's when restaurants were just kind of getting their feet under them with takeout and to-go options. But it took a while before I kind of got back to weekly cooking, because, you know, when the stay-at-home order had come out and everyone was home, I thought, oh my gosh, is this business that I just started going to dry up and go away? Because suddenly everyone's home to make dinner.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all, like, you've got all the time in the world to make dinner right now.
Yeah, because there were no activities, so you weren't carting your kids all over the place.
You're not schlepping kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. But what I learned was, and I did lose, you know, quite a few clients because of that reason, right? They all of a sudden had all this time, but I gained probably, you know, triple new clients who discovered that one, they don't like to cook. Two, maybe they're not very good at it. Three, you know, maybe they make three things and their family is bored to tears by eating, you know, the same three things that mom or dad can make.
Yeah.
And so, or the last reason, which I was surprised about, was that so many people were on a Zoom call, you know, for 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And at the end of that, did not have the mental capacity to come downstairs or leave their home office and make dinner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a new way for me to think about it and kind of, you know, maybe reach a different audience with meal delivery. But, you know, I kind of was back to normal in mid-May doing weekly meals and just growing every week. And then, of course, as you know, Memorial Day weekend, George Floyd was murdered. And then everything kind of shut down again, right? And my kitchen's in South Minneapolis. And, of course, this whole community was just, you know, mourning and upset and angry about that. And so I again reached back to my clients and said, you know, can I take the week off from cooking from you guys? And can I just bring some hot meals to families in that community that had been directly impacted and just feed them, you know, this week or the next couple of weeks? And
oh, that's so great.
Yeah, they were so generous and said, absolutely, I don't need food this week. Go make, you know, because they were, the families who had been so affected were getting, you know, a bag of groceries and, you know, canned foods and whatnot, which is all great and was definitely needed. But sometimes a hot meal, you know, when you're kind of going through such a crisis can make such a difference in nourishing you and nourishing your family. So,
well, and you're taking kind of like a what used to be a real strong tradition of people bringing food to people during, you know, funerals or after somebody had died or if somebody was ill. People would, you know, women in mostly would come together and prepare meals to bring to those in need. So you kind of now reshaped the whole concept and are bringing it to another level, which is really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, you know, we did a big push that first week. I think we cooked for 20 or 30 families. I can't remember. And my kitchen mates that I share space with here at the commercial kitchen were all on board and just like, yes, how can we help? And, but then a couple of us, you know, just decided, how can we do this ongoing throughout the summer, you know, on a smaller scale? And so we connected with a school in South Minneapolis and through a parent liaison, we're able to just every week, we just said, count on us for 6 family meals. We will just every week we will deliver these meals to you. She does the distribution, so we don't know who's getting them or whatever. And because we just know that sometimes when those crises happen, right, the need is so great and so full right after it happens, and people are so willing to donate and show up. But it's as the weeks and months go on, the need is still there, but people kind of, you know, it trails off and you forget about it. So then, throughout the summer, we just continue to provide those 6 meals once a week. And stayed connected to that community and going to continue to do that as we head into fall here too.
Wow. Good for you. That takes a lot of ingenuity and planning on your part. How many staff do you have working in the kitchen?
I have my brother and his fiance are helping me right now because they both lost their jobs to COVID. So they have relocated and are closer to family right now, and I need the help and they're unemployed. And so it's working out right now.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to, you know, spend time with them in the kitchen and, you know, just kind of be in this. I feel like I'm in this transition phase where I do need to hire some full-time staff, and they're kind of a stopgap right now and kind of getting us through the end of the year, which is really great.
Right. Well, that's part of your viability formula is to be super responsive. And if you can survive, you know, and thrive during the most difficult year of our lives, it looks like you can make it through anything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to look back and think, okay, it's October and, you know, what the business looked like in January and how many left turns it has taken since then to what it looks like now. And what will it look like, you know, through the end of this year? I mean, it's just, it's crazy. But I feel really proud that it's thriving as a brand new business in this weird environment. I feel like, gosh, like it can only get better from here if I can, you know, make it this year and have it come out on the other side a success.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just kind of curious because when we were grocery shopping, I mean, all of a sudden, if people weren't eating out, they were, you know, buying stuff in such volume that the shelves, you know, flour was hard to find and, you know, chocolate chips. And I mean, you know, all these different sugar and, you know, canned goods and soups. And so did you find some difficulty in getting the food that you needed, the ingredients to make your plan, your meals and execute those?
Yeah, sometimes I would have to write a menu. Like I remember one week specifically stood out where fajitas were on the menu. And I just told all my clients and I said they're going to be chicken or they're going to be steak based on what I can source. Because it just was so, I mean, there was a point, you know, at Business Costco where you could only buy one pack of chicken a day, you know, so. And steak was just missing for several weeks. So it was tricky, and you had to kind of get creative. And luckily, you know, I shop a lot at Restaurant Depot, which just supplies, you know, restaurants and caterers and whatnot. And they were pretty great throughout, except again for their proteins. I mean, there were definitely days where I'd walk in and there would not be any protein to be had. You kind of had to put your head down a little bit and think creatively about, okay, where else can I source things? Like, how can I use the produce that's coming in summertime, you know, from the farmer's market? And how can I build a menu around that? How can I build a menu around ingredients that I know are going to be abundant right now when it's August and there's Minnesota sweet corn everywhere? And, you know, so just, I always cook very seasonally, but this year has definitely forced me to pay even more attention to what is seasonal right now and what is going to be abundant kind of regardless of the supply and chain demand issues.
Yeah. I think that you would have a great conversation with Geeta Mazumdar. She's in St. Paul and she's delivering meals, cuisine from kind of the Middle East, Indian food. And she's just amazing. And she's had a group of a few other friends that every Monday they make meals together. And then people come and pick them up or they deliver them in these tins. And then the people wash the tins and then bring them back to their house. And it's normally people that she knows. But I think that you and her would have a lot to share together as far as what the resources are for getting organic foods and local foods from the farmers.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I'll give you that information when we're done. And I'll include the conversations that I had with her in the episode resources so that people, if that jars their memory, they can go ahead and listen to her conversations as well. So tell us a little bit more about how you kind of got to the point of deciding to even launch a business.
Yeah, so my background actually is in event planning. That's what I did out of college for several years.
You went to the U of M?
I went to the U of M. Yep. I graduated with a degree in communications. And my junior year of college, I was on a small group, a team that planned a multi-day conference for an organization that we were involved in. And afterward, I thought, gosh, that was really fun. And I'm really good at this. And so that kind of led me to figuring out what I wanted to do after I graduate, after I graduated college. And so I worked in marketing and event planning for numerous nonprofits for several years, and landed at the Science Museum my last kind of 4 years in that area, and you know, did big, you know, exhibit openings when a new exhibit would open at the museum for thousands of people, down to, you know, really small, intimate, you know, donor fundraising events and kind of everything in between. And I loved it. And it was a great place to work and great people. And I so believe in what the Science Museum does for this community. But then decided to become a mom. And that was kind of the turning point in. I had never thought I would be a stay-at-home mom. I thought I would always be a working mom, but the cost of childcare and a nonprofit salary was laughable. I mean, it just was ridiculous. I was, you know, there was no point in it. And so I went back to work for a few months after I had my oldest. He's now 12.
You've had your children with your husband. Was he at the U with you, or?
Yes, he and I both went to the U. We both met in the marching band, actually, at the U. We both played.
I love that.
Band. Yeah.
What instruments did you each play?
He played sousaphone, which is the giant tuba, and I played the clarinet.
Okay.
So
that's sweet.
Yeah.
And you kept in touch, or did you start dating during college?
We were friends in college. He's a couple years older than I am, and we had a lot of mutual friends. So we just kind of always stayed connected, but we didn't start dating till my last year of college. So he was already graduated and working and doing his thing. But next week we will celebrate being married 15 years together. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So a lot's happened in 15 years.
It has. Yeah.
Yeah. So you were explaining that you had your first child, you realized, you know, that childcare costs were kind of inhibiting the ability to figure out, you know, what you had thought about for your career.
Right. And it just was like in a reevaluation period. I'd been at the Science Museum 4 years and loved it, but kind of felt like I'd maxed out on my skill set there. And after having Elliot, who's now 12, I just thought, okay, well, maybe I'll just be home with him for a while and kind of figure out what's next. Well, you know how that goes, three children and 11 years later, I was home those 11 years with all three of them. They are now 12, 9, and 6, so they are all in school, whatever school means right now. But yeah, it just was sort of a turning point. But, you know, the tricky part is, and I loved being home with my kids and I'm so glad I got the opportunity, but I'm a people person and I'm a capital E extrovert. And, you know, babies don't really talk for a while. And, you know, it's kind of a long time before they say anything intelligent. And so I was missing, you know, people and conversation and coworkers and kind of that element. And so when I was pregnant with my daughter, Elliot was about 2.5, and I was pregnant with my daughter, Louise, I thought, okay, I have to do something else. And there's got to be something else I can do while being a stay-at-home mom and just, you know, figure that out. And so I started selling Cabby, which is a women's clothing brand. It's a direct sales business. I've been a longtime shopper of Cabby. And so I knew the product and I knew it was great. And so that sort of was my I dipped my toe a little bit into running my own business because, of course, you know, we're all independent contractors, you know, when you do direct sales, and it was...
So you were figuring out kind of the marketing arm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, Cabbie is a large company, and so they gave us a lot of training and tools and resource, but really you are running your own business, right? You decide when you want to work, how much you want to work, how much you want to sell. So it was great practice for me, and I did that for 8 years, and that definitely gave me the courage to step out and do my own business from scratch. I don't know that I would have kind of had the courage to do that without Cabbie, because a lot of those tools and principles and, you know, tenets that I learned at Cabbie, I definitely applied to Nosh and Gather, and kind of gave me the courage to say, okay, I've already run my own direct sales business. You know, I think I could do this from scratch on my own.
Yeah. And that's what I've noticed is kind of a common theme with entrepreneurs is where they gather their skill sets, you know, is a very unique path, but there are lots of skills to be learning about marketing and about financing and about how to take risks and how to manage the cash flow, ebb and flow, and, you know, how to project forward. And the work that you start on, you know, during the day, you know, isn't necessarily generating, you know, you need to be marketing for the future. And so balancing kind of the working in the business, working on the business, and then also, you know, building your leadership skills along the way. Yeah, it's all very tricky. And then learning HR functions, you know, how do you manage people and how do you contract them? And what are the rules around having a W-2 employee?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, all that good stuff. So yeah. I can see how the skills that you've been learning in the different positions that you've held, how that kind of was pulling you together to, like you were saying, kind of building the ability for you to kind of take the leap.
Right. And then the ongoing support now that the business is running, I really lean on. I have a group of women. It's called the Business Women's Circle. They're an organization here in the Twin Cities. And there's multiple circles of, we're all women entrepreneurs, but everyone's in a different field. And so we meet once a month, and I really consider that group of women to be like my board of directors. You know, they are all, you know, really solid in their own businesses and are so great at coming together and helping each other solve problems. And, you know, so when I've got a crazy idea about, you know, hey, you know, I think I'm going to offer a Thanksgiving meal. What do you guys think? Like, what, you know, if I plan it like this, you know, would you buy this or would you buy this for your family? And so I definitely,
yeah,
you know, that ongoing support now that the business is happening, having that group of business women leaders that I kind of lean on as my board of directors has been crucial as well.
Excellent. And I just want to make a slight, just so we're using kind of the same vocabulary. So when we're talking about board of directors, they're usually paid positions within a corporation. But what you're talking about, it's an advisory board.
Right.
And they're non-paid, but they're a crucial element in small business ownership, having a support team to problem solve as you build your business, because there's so many nuances as, you know, even more so now than ever before, that come up, that having a group of people that you meet with on a regular basis and have the ability to really develop a relationship, and that they're taking risks in their businesses too. And so you're kind of seeing, you know, people in different businesses, different types of businesses, how they're experiencing that as well. So it's a real unique combination of people. And how many are in that group?
I think there's 12 of us in this particular circle. Some circles are, you know, bigger or smaller, and they meet all over the Twin Cities. But yeah, again, everyone's in a different field, and everyone, you know, some people are brand new business owners. Some people have been doing this 20 years. So there's just such a wide breadth and depth of knowledge. And yeah, coming together regularly with that group of women is just essential.
Oh, excellent. We're going to go into some more details about the exact, you know, some of the contents of your meals. And before we close out this conversation, I was wondering if you could share with us kind of what you're working on with your brother and his fiance today in the kitchen.
Sure. We've got 25 orders going out this week, as well as 2 catering events. So it's kind of a busy week in the kitchen, which is good. Catering events are starting to come back, which is good news. So this week on the menu, let's see, we're doing a buttermilk roasted chicken with broccoli. I always try and do 1 or 2 vegetarian meals. So we're doing a candied beet salad, and we're doing a stuffed pepper soup, and a roasted fig maple ice cream this week. So I always try and mix it up with, I always try and have a soup because a lot of clients will order, you know, an extra quart or two to throw in the freezer, and always try to offer something for my vegetarians, and then, you know, a sweet treat of the week. And everything is really seasonal and really feels like fall right now, and I'm just really mindful of the time of year. And then, like I said, I've got an anniversary dinner. One of my clients is celebrating an anniversary tomorrow, so I'm doing a 4-course dinner for just her and her husband to have at home tomorrow night, since people aren't really going out as much.
Oh, that's then, so sweet. Like, you're building this, you know, like they'll always remember that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And she said, she's like, you know, I could order takeout, but I'd really like to, you know, customize a menu. And so I've done several of those anniversary dinners, and they've been really fun. And then this upcoming weekend, I'm doing, there's an outdoor yoga retreat, a wine and yoga event that's happening. And so I'm doing some boxed brunch boxes for that event this weekend.
Oh, brunch boxes. Oh, excellent. Yeah. So, well, that's a safe way to handle all the food.
Yeah. Right, because everything is individually packaged and individually wrapped. And so you don't have to worry about, you know, sharing utensils or any of that. Everything kind of stays in the box.
Yeah. I'm noticing, like, with hotels that they were also doing, like, you know, bags. They used to have open, you know, buffet style breakfasts. Then during COVID, you know, everything was packaged in bags that were put together. And now they're starting to open that up again to serve hot meals. So it's just interesting to see, you know, the adaptability that we need in order to run our businesses. We need to be so much more flexible than ever before. And always, I love your creativity. Like, that's something I just don't think you'll ever, you know, be not have, which you can count on in your business. And especially during these challenging times, that's a great way to grow your business, is to make sure that you've got a huge supply of ideas at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Anything else you would like to share before we close out this conversation? And would you be up for a second?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Liza, and sharing so openly your experience in a year like no other. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mom for a brother from another mother. Thanks for all your efforts and adaptations during this time. And thank you to you as a listener. I really appreciate you tuning in and being a regular listener and gathering as much information as you can from the gems that each podcast guest mentor are sharing with you. All right, and we'll see you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to evolve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor mini lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at wementor.com or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening and we'll see you next week.